Now, we had that in the Good News. Some of you were probably following in the NIV or something else. But it's interesting how we just get a different little slant on some things, depending on where it's read from or how it's read. If you want to open your Bibles to chapter 17 of Acts, we are going to follow with Paul. Now, over the last couple of months, we've actually been thinking about world mission. And I'm saying today, sermons in two bits. The second bit is going to be some questions to everyone. So you don't have to go to the toilet, or you don't have to go home early. I won't embarrass anyone, I hope. Who better to give us a key to ministry than Paul? And that's why today we're thinking about what is the key. But also, if you've got this little leaflet, and I haven't, pardon me, put an outline of the sermon there, I've just put that for those of you who like to take notes, but for you to take home. Because Paul is going to be speaking about idols and just the acceptance of them, but also in the second part of our sermon this morning, I'm going to ask you, pardon me, what is the biggest issue that you face in reaching people or sharing the gospel with people in your age group? Because we're the missionaries. We haven't got a Paul walking around at the moment. Now, some of you, who's been to Athens? Right, yes, a few people. Righto, well, this is where we understand Paul preached from. Right up there at the Areopagus, or however you like to pronounce it, the Rock of Ares, and just there near the Acropolis. There was the Parthenon, which is that big temple there, if you can see that. Just here. And that temple was built for Athena. Athens, Athena. Right. Athena was the goddess of war, but she had an interesting philosophy of war. You didn't go to war unless it was absolutely essential. She was also the goddess of justice, and she was the goddess of the arts. And this temple, as it were, was built because in the 5th century BC, the Athenians had built and given victory over the Persians. And they said that Athena was part of that as the goddess, and so they built this temple. In the temple, when it was originally built, there was a statue of her, which was solid gold and ivory, and it was life-size. Incredible. So this is the situation here. Added to that was that this was the centre of the arts, the treasury, and democracy. That was Athens. It was also capital of Greece. It had the philosophers, Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle. So it's not a surprise, is it, that Paul preaches here and he says, and your poets. Nor is it a surprise that he says, oh, you gather and you talk about things, because that's what they did all day. They disputed and talked and threw over philosophies, and so, of course, this is their background, Plato, Socrates, and Aristotle. It, of course, is the foundation too for Olympic Games. So this is Athens. Now, it's said that there's possibly a 150-metre drop here from there. So this was a whole centre of, you can see different buildings, but this was the main feature, and of course over years it's deteriorated. It was, in early times, after the temple, it became a church. Byzantine church, then the Roman Catholics took it over as a cathedral, and then it was taken over by the Turks and became a mosque in the 1400s. So an interesting place. This is the background to Paul coming into Athens and speaking. He's got the talkers, he's got the philosophers, he's got worshipping of the goddess. So he's got all of these things. And so when was read to us by Pat, we hear this God is not made with gold and silver. This God is not the God that we need to give something to. We can't formulate him because he's the creator. And it's interesting sometimes just to have a little bit of background. Paul Dish didn't step into Athens and that was it. This is the background of this place. And so he comes. So let's have a quick look and see what we can learn from him. So as I've said, if you've got your Bibles, turn to chapter 17 of Acts. Verse 16, while Paul was waiting for them, he had a look around and he saw that the city was full of idols. Friends, how we need to have a look around if we're going to minister effectively to people. We need to see where they're at, what's going on in their life, what's influencing them. And that's why I've got on this little sheet that idols are insidious, society accepts them, and often they are invisible. Now, we're not going to walk down the street and see idols, although someone has said that with some of the road accidents and with the little crosses that are set up and the flowers that are put out and whatever, it's like some people have put idols down the street. But I want to ask the first question. What do you think is the most insidious or difficult idol or idols that we have to cope with today in society? What are the things that are invisible or insidious? As I say, we're not going to walk down the street and see a statue made of gold, but what is going to be something that we have to think through carefully and fight against or understand these are influences in our culture? Coffee shop. Righto, yeah, the coffee shop is often the central focus of idolatry. Yes, right. And addiction. Anything else? What else is a... Yes, Jill? All right. People commenting on our board out the front. Right, so that's interesting. This is an interesting comment. And I felt, a couple of months ago, the Anglicans had, if you've got two coats, one belongs to the poor. And I thought that was a very challenging thing. But what are the things that we have to think again about that are perhaps contrary to Scripture or a challenge to us as Christians? Media. Right, yes, the media. Wherever you go, little tackers are now doing stuff, all sorts of on iPads and all sorts of things, dangerous. Yes, and the media, of course, giving us only what they want to give us. So we need to be very careful about what we believe, where we take our information from, and what we do with it. and realise that other people are being greatly influenced too. Yes? Anything else that's an insidious, pardon me, idol or influence? A promotion of gambling is incredible. Incredible. I mean, wherever you go, any sports stuff, anything else, and it's all made to look so friendly and positive and whatever. Just incredible. Get rich quick. Are we as Christians not satisfied with what God has provided? Do we want to get rich quick in some other way? All I have needed, your hand has provided. We've just sung, is it true? Is it true? Or actually, God, I want a bit more. Brad, did you have your hand up? Right. Yes, an excessive pursuit of money. Right. Vicky? Right. An excessive seeking after pleasure. Yes. Sometimes we are much happier to seek after pleasure than truth, or to deal with sin and rather seek after pleasure. We need to be careful. I think the whole of society, I think it just shows a big vacuum in society that people seeking pleasure, people seeking money. Kay?
Academic achievement or knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Right, academic achievement or knowledge, which is, in one way, we could say the philosophers of Athens, not necessarily wrong at one level, but sometimes overboard, a bit too much. Yes, and also taking notice of people. I mean, I'll just be careful, but some people who have got PhDs, great knowledge, poo-hoo the idea of God, and not only do that, but we take notice of them, but they're stupid, in the sense that there's no common sense. So we need to be careful about that, and often people who claim to be knowledgeable certainly just discard God. And we need to be very careful of that too. Someone else had their hand up? Right, well, that might, yes, Gail? Mm-hmm. Right, reading, hearing things, we're bombarded with information from everywhere. And we need to be, as Christians, discerning and renewing our mind with the things of God. So, this is Paul saying to us, just while I was waiting there in Athens, I had a good look around. And what I saw, it was a place full of idols. And I think, if we're honest, we would need to just be very careful that we haven't made idols in our lives that are contrary to the things of God. We need to be very careful. We can make people idols. We can make family an idol. We need to be very careful. So, he argued in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout people and in the marketplace. Wherever he had a spot, he took advantage. So, we would probably say, if you're down there in Rundle Mall, preaching away, as some people have been with placards, you just walk past. But we need to make sure that we take advantage of any spot that we have where we can minister or share in an appropriate way. The problem is that we've taken a back step rather than a forward step. And we need to take a forward step. If we take seriously that we want people to hear about Jesus. I mean, they're not going to hear unless we share something. And we need to share it in a way that they want to hear more rather than actually give us a wide berth. So he says, some also are Epicureans, some are philosophers, And some says, oh, this bloke is just a babbler going on. Be careful that we don't become babblers with the word of God. Anyhow, he preached Jesus and the resurrection in verse 18. They took hold of him and brought him up here, up to the top, which is where the council, where the judicial system, where the treasury was. It's interesting to read that in the 4th century, the guy who was the treasurer was up on an embezzlement charge. Nothing's changed, has it? 4th century, the treasurer embezzles the money. So, they are saying these are amazing things because it's new, or strange things. What does it mean? What amazes me is that people have very little idea of anything biblical. We've grown up with a generation where people really don't know. Mention to them about Bluey, the kids are with it. Say anything about David and Goliath and they look at you, what? Now, so it's no wonder that these people, not that they were watching Bluey, but no wonder they're saying, this is so new. We haven't heard this before. I would expect, friends, that along with me, you have friends in your circle who really don't know about Jesus. And I remember so well, our daughter, who was now married to Chris, one day we were standing at the sink doing the dishes. She and Chris were both at uni. And she said, Dad, Chris doesn't know about Jesus. He's at uni. What is he? Late teens? And then she said, but Dad, that's not his fault, is it? Oh, hello. No, it's not his fault, is it? He became a Christian, studied for ministry, and is involved in church life, and that's the story. So, you know, there are some people who don't know about Jesus, and Dad, it's not their fault, is it? It could be our fault, couldn't it? For never saying. Chris said one time, why hasn't someone told me about this before? Why hasn't someone told us about it before? We need to wake up sometimes. So, there in verse 20, you bring strange things. This is my translation. We wish to know, therefore, what they mean. Now, all of the Athenians and the foreigners who spent their time in nothing, it says in my translation, except telling or hearing new things. Yeah, this was the background of Athens. Da, 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 da. I suppose it was the men who spent time yabbering on and wives were out working or something. So, I think the first thing, friends, in having a key to reaching people is to realise where our friends are at. Realise where society is at. What do we have to confront and talk about? So, it's no good talking about Bible stories. At this stage, people haven't got a background in a Bible story. We need to start where people are at. Then we need to relate the truth. And so I'm not going to go verse by verse, but from verse 22, Paul stands up and says, men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are religious. Now that's an interesting comment because we would all know people in our circle of friends today who would say, I'm spiritual, but it's not spiritual Jesus spiritual. It's another form of spirituality that we're probably not familiar with. So they would say, oh, I'm spiritual in this or that or the other. And I think this is what Paul is saying to these people. He says, I see all of these statues, I see all of these idols, to an unknown God. And again, I say, these are our friends. People who are spiritual, but they're not really sure what they're linked into. They're not sure of what God they're linked into. But Paul says, I'm now going to proclaim to you about this God. I'm going to tell you about this God. And so I would like to think, friends, that we who are believers are able somehow to tap into where our friends and family are at, and then to be able to bring the reality of Jesus into that situation. I'm not pretending it's easy. I don't get on the bus and someone sits down and says, oh, tell me about Jesus. No, that has never happened. So I don't expect it's going to happen to anyone else here. But I don't think that takes away from what we should do. And then in verse 29, we are God's offspring. We ought not to think that God is like silver or gold or stone. Can you imagine Paul up here speaking to this group of people, and behind him is a temple that has had the goddess life-size gold and ivory. And he's saying, God is not made with gold and silver, not like this here, but God is the creator. So friends, we need to realise the situation and then somehow relate the truth. But we need to be open, as Dion has said to the children, we need to be open, because in verse 32, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. And we know people will just say, oh, that's all rubbish, all that religious stuff. Christian stuff, it's just all rubbish. Oh, church is falling apart everywhere. I don't think we're the city of churches anymore. Many of them are restaurants or other places, which is so sad. Some mocked and said, others said, we will hear about this again. We'll go away and think about this. And some joined and believed the mention of a man and a woman. So we just have to cope with that reaction too. Some people will say, rubbish, not interested. Some will say, I just need to have a think about this. And some will say, I was just ready for this. In I come. So friends, if we are going to be thinking about what is the key, what is the key into the lives of people? What is the key to share the love of Jesus? What keys do we need? Well, I think we first of all need to realise the situation of the person we're talking to. We then need to relate the truth, not something made up, but the truth. And we need to be able to cope with the reaction, some of which will be good, some of which will be bad. Now, I'm going to stop there. We're going to sing a song, and then I'm going to ask some more questions. So please be ready. Now, if you're over 65, please stand up. Now, this is not an embarrassing question, but you all who are standing probably had some sort of Sunday school upbringing, and probably the people that you connect with have some Sunday school upbringing. So my question is, what is the difficulty in sharing Jesus with those people? Why aren't they all in church here today or part of another church? If they're not with Jesus still and Sunday school is in their head but it's not maybe in their heart or in their life, tell me, what is the most difficult or tell us, so that we as a church can pray for the over 65s as they minister. Because let's not talk about going around the world. We've got our own world. What is the most difficult thing in sharing about Jesus? Now, I'm not going to embarrass anyone, but let me look. Well, Bev, you're right at the back today. Yes, tell me in a loud voice, what do you think is the most difficult thing in ministering to older people? Right. Yeah. Anyone else want to say what's the difficulty, Gail? Right. Yep. Hard to crack. Yeah. Right, O. Lee, what do you reckon? Well, over 65s, everyone have a look. Over half our congregation is in the older bracket. So we need to be praying because presumably those friends of yours in the older bracket have got one step in heaven or wherever and one step on the top rung of the ladder. And yes, we would want them to come to know Jesus before it's too late. So our prayer, friends, is to pray that those in the older generation of our congregation are able to minister to their friends. Thank you. Sit down. If you're a student, stand up, please. If you're a student, stand up, please. Right. Gracie. Now, you've been at a Christian school, though, haven't you? That doesn't mean all the kids there were Christian, does it? No. So what do you think is the difficulty there in sharing or you talking to any of your friends who aren't Christian about Jesus? Is there a difficulty? Right. Judgmental and not very accepting. Yeah. Do they talk about things? Right. About God? Not really.
A little bit. Yeah.
Right, the media and stuff, yep. William. What's the difficulty in talking about Jesus to people of your age? So different religions for and against, yep.
It's very easy just to say, throw your hands up in the air and say, look, I don't know.
Right.
These people say, this is in favour of it, so many other people say, against it.
Mm-hmm. All right, fine. Also, thank you. Yeah.
One other thing, that a lot of them can look around at the church, look at the church and see all these, see churches in, you know, various different churches and with very different sort of priorities and think, oh, well, if that's what church is, then I don't really
want that. Righto, well, thank you. Well, different options, and if that's what church is about, I'm not interested. Right, so older generation, just have a look at the people who are standing. These are the people in some educational institution. Please pray for them. It's not easy for young people in a whole different world. So please pray for them. No, thank you, please. Just note, when Paul preached, he didn't say, come to church. He said, understand about who Jesus is. Friends, we need to know exactly who Jesus is and where we stand so that we can just talk about our friend Jesus. Yep. Right. Stand up now, please. If you've got a neighbour. Right. So I assume that if everyone's got a neighbour, you know your neighbours, and you talk to your neighbours, and you're friendly, and you're not horrible to the neighbours' kids, and you haven't thrown bait over for the neighbour's dog, you're friendly to your neighbour. Aren't we concerned to bring our neighbours to Jesus? So we need to make sure that we are the neighbour that they would want to live next to, not the neighbour from hell. Right? We need to be an appropriate neighbour. The same families, all of you standing, along with myself, and I'm in all of this, we're saying, hey, we're all part of families. Some members of family are easier to get on with than others. But we're so easy to get on with. Aren't we? We're so easy. We're so accommodating. We're so forgiving. We're so caring. Again, I just say, are we the people who minister the love of Jesus? Let's not talk about it. Let's not talk about loving God, who we haven't seen, if we can't love our brother and sister who we have seen and who we have to live with. Let me pray. Our Lord and our God, we fit into different age groups, we fit into different learning capacities, but we've all got neighbours and we're all part of a family. So today we come and we thank you for who we are. You have made us. We thank you that you're not a statue made of silver and gold who can't hear or understand. And so our prayer is that you would challenge us, that instead of just praying for missios in other parts of the world, that we would see our responsibility and that we would respond to that. Father, give us grace as neighbours, as members of families. Let's cut through some of the rubbish and let's, like Paul, share Jesus. For we long for people to know him. And we pray in his name. Amen. Please sit down.